It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
It's Hot Take Tuesday. We'll get to James Palmer in just a second. I love this one, though, Tyler. Hot Take, look for the next new line of commercials for Peyton Manning. If it's Amazon, Jeff Bezos will be the next Broncos owner. And Peyton will be here. That's pretty funny. Good one, man. Mac and Longmont. Way to go. James Palmer is on NFL Network. Hi, James. How are you?
Guys, I'm having a great hour. I don't know what's a bigger shock, that Kanye and Kim Kardashian are getting a divorce or that Peyton Manning is a finalist for the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Right. Wow. Right.
I had heard one of those things, but not the Kanye. What? That is terrible news. I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
I'm all over Page Six. You know me. So, you know, I mean, Kanye's really had it with the family. We got multiple sources all over this. He's spending his time in their Wyoming match. Yeah, this is something. I could sense it when I was not allowed to ride on an elevator with Kim Kardashian last year in Detroit. Ooh, I tried to get on the same elevator as her.
Okay.
Was not allowed.
By
and
who?
Then yelled to her, "We're both." And then I yelled to her, "We're both on cable television."
Oh, I love it.
Wow. Well, but you brought up the Hall of Fame. Yeah, we have the list, and Peyton Manning is there. Shocker. So is John Lynch, and so is Tony Baselli. Tony's a Boulder kid, and John, obviously, we know all of his ties. Peyton will be a slam dunk guy. I guess the question there is just, will it be unanimous or not? It should be. And Charles Woodson will slide in there as well. Any other names on here that you think are interesting or slam dunk names? Let me go through all the names real quick, okay? Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, Jared Allen, Reggie Wayne. Oh, that'd be kind of nice with Peyton, huh? Torrey Holt, Leroy Butler, John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, Clay Matthews Jr., Alan Faneca, Tony Baselli, Sam Mills.
To me, DMAC, really what always stands out is the receiver group, because it's just there's so many good ones almost every year. Who do you put in? What do you do with the position? To me, that's a really, really tough one, because on our air, it's going down right now, and one of the questions asked Charles Woodson was, out of those receivers, you covered them all. Who was the toughest to guard? And he was like, Calvin Johnson. It wasn't even close. Yeah, it was Calvin Johnson.
Right.
And so do you go Calvin Johnson? But, you know, he's going to get in. But this is his first opportunity. When you look at the other guys, you mentioned it, and it was said on the show, it'd be really great to get Reggie Wayne in with Peyton Manning. I think that'd be great. And Torrey Holt's kind of the guy that's just waiting from that offense that was so dominant and the greatest show on turf. So I, the receiver spot to me is always the one that is always so hard to evaluate. But you mentioned Tony Baselli too. I see that guy constantly doing games, and I always spend a lot of time with him in London. Whenever I do Jags games there almost every year, it seems like he's there. And he's just one of those guys that I think a lot of people around the league are just like, man, I just want to see Tony Baselli get in. Like, when's that going to happen? And that's kind of the one that always been waiting for. But the receiver spot is always the one that we always kind of keep an eye on, because it's such a tough one to figure out who gets in when.
Well, James, what was your reaction to the John Elway news? How surprised were you?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to one of my bosses, and I was like, I have a hunch in a sense, and a little information that, you know, we might be nearing the end of John Elway as the GM. And I said, he goes, well, can you report that? And I go, I don't know when it's going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen within 24 hours of that conversation.
Wow.
I knew it was something that was getting mulled, but I didn't think it was going to happen now. And I was a little shocked by it. The dynamic in the setup now is, to me, a little bit interesting. I just find it very difficult for somebody to come in and have a job that they are told they have final say on the 53, on the draft, on free agency, and then the guy you're replacing is the guy you report to. It just seems very difficult to operate with a clear head in that job. They're going to have to find a way to display that to their candidates, that John Elway will not be looking over, you know, your shoulder in any sense. You have free reign to make these decisions. I think that needs to be conveyed to all of these candidates very clearly in the interview process, because it's something, obviously, if I'm thinking about it, I'm assuming a lot of people aren't.
Well, do you believe that'll be true? Do you believe that they will have full autonomy to make their own decisions?
If you want to be successful, you have to have that set up. And I had a long conversation, probably about an hour, with Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, leading into their game against the Broncos that I was doing. And when he described how their front office and coaching structure operates with him and Sean McDermott, it made clear sense why certain teams are successful and clear sense why certain teams are not. And if you have it set up like teams like Buffalo do, or Kansas City, or Tennessee, or Pittsburgh, where you have it set up in a manner in which that the head coach and the general manager are in lockstep, that they are the end-all, be-all of the decision-making process, you can have a really, really successful franchise if they are on the same page in how they work. You look at Buffalo, and I think that's why we look at Champ Kelly and ties between Vic and John, and those guys, Brandon and Sean McDermott, both left Carolina together to go to Buffalo, and you look at what they've built there is pretty impressive. Those two have to work in lockstep, and it has to be their thing. And I think, like I said, that has to be conveyed somehow to all of these candidates that you will be making the decisions.
You know, the Broncos website did something interesting. The Broncos website this afternoon put out, like, an article/survey. Who do you think would be the best fit for GM for the Broncos? The Broncos website did this. And they listed Adam Peters, Champ Kelly, John Spytek from the Bucks, Thomas Dimitrioff, and Nick, and I hope I'm saying this right, Caserio, who's, I know, with the Patriots. Thank you, Broncos website. So tell me about...
They narrowed it down for you.
I guess they did. I mean, this is coming from the Broncos themselves. What are you hearing about those guys? What information can you share about perhaps those guys and other names out there that are being highly considered?
Yeah, well, we can start with Nick Caserio. And to me, I think it's almost a slam dunk that he would be the one heading to Houston. There has been an infatuation, and I used to be a beat reporter down there, an infatuation with ownership to be the New England Patriots. We've seen them do it repeatedly with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, and they wanted Nick Caserio last year and were blocked. And now he just conducted his interview today with them, and I would see that him as the front runner there. He's interviewed a lot of places. He is finally allowed out of his contract in New England, so he is definitely a hot name for people around the league. He's had several spots. We mentioned Champ Kelly and the ties that he has to Vic in Chicago and then, you know, to the Denver Broncos. I've spoken to people that have worked really closely with him, and they speak the world of Champ Kelly. I think that is a name to definitely keep your eye on. I love that they put Thomas Dimitrioff on their list, because that was kind of the sleeper that I have my eye on, as opposed to a lot of people saying it publicly. And I know Thomas a little bit, and I remember hanging out at his place in the Super Bowl, and he was raving about, to you know, down at, when we were down in Atlanta, he still had a job, about if he could get back to Colorado, he would love it. And he still has a place in Boulder. And to me, he fits DMAC a couple of things they're looking for. He is a grinder. He made his way as a scout, sleeping in a tent on the road when he was young. And he grinds. And to me, that fits Vic Fangio. But he also can throw on the expensive-ass suit and be the face of the franchise, which I think also fits something, you know, John Elway's looking for. And he can wear multiple hats. And I think he's kind of the sleeper to me that would be interesting. But obviously, Adam Peters, with his connections here, but I find it interesting you let a guy leave. Do you want to bring him? You end up bringing him back? Did you love him enough in the first place to let him walk out the door? To me, that makes that one a little bit interesting. But I also think the other part, guys, that plays a big factor, and I don't think Joe Ellis could have made this any more clear, is their effort to look at diverse candidates.
Yeah,
I've talked to a lot of people that have worked in the Denver Broncos building and have left the Denver Broncos building and have told me down the road it's one of the least diverse buildings in the NFL. And I think Joe Ellis made that clear, that's there, and that's something they're going to look into.
Well, you know, for that and a million other reasons, it feels like Champ Kelly, just everybody could put a check mark next to his name for an interest in him. Hey, James, how exactly does Vic Fangio fit into the hiring of the next GM? How much say does he really have?
I think it's really interesting, Tyler, how small their group is that's going to go through this interview process. I mentioned Houston. I mean, Jesus, they have everybody from Andre Johnson to Tony Dungy to Jimmy Johnson helping out in their general manager search. It's probably about 12 people, and the Broncos are going to have three. And I guess Patrick Smyth is taking notes in there as well, as Joel said. But it's really Joel, John Elway, and Vic Fangio.
What a sting right there. There you go, James.
That's what Joe Ellis said. He said we're all over 60, so Smythe is going to take notes for us while we're in there. So it's going to be that's one of the smallest groups in the NFL that is looking for their general manager of all of these teams. And I find it very interesting as well that he said Brittany Bowen will not be part of the interview process. She'll be on kind of an outer portion. They will be showing her kind of she'll be taught and told what is going on in the process. I find that interesting if they want this resolved within the year, and she would be the acting owner sooner than later if everything goes according to plan. She would be this person's boss, and she would not be, directly in the interview process. I found that kind of, somewhat interesting. But right. I do think Vic Say is going to be very important if, like the way we started this, if the general manager is going to have all the power that John has said they will, I think Vic Say will be very important because, like I said, that relationship, you look around the league, the general manager and head coach that have that relationship, you find success on teams. When you look at ones that don't have that, you find teams that are trying to find that success.
All right, good stuff, James. Anything else we should know before we let you go?
I wish I had another, steamy divorce for you, but that's all I got.
Okay, that's
the big news.
What are you? Are you staying here in town, or are you going to be out on the road?
I am off to our nation's capital for the Washington football team and Tom Brady.
Of course,
for a wild card weekend.
Of course,
they'd be back with Tommy, wouldn't they?
Right,
yeah. Naturally.
It's the playoffs, and let's rejuvenate that relationship.
Listeners might not know, but James was basically embedded. James lives here in Colorado, Denver, but he was embedded in what suburb of Tampa were you there for a month?
Oh, it wasn't a suburb. I was in Tampa.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know, 60 feet from the facility in a little elderly lady's home. Airbnb, 35 days.
Nice.
Me and Tom Brady down there in Tampa. Yep. So now we're back.
Oh, that's too
we're
funny.
Back, baby, so.
That's good stuff.
Should
Thank
be a
you.
Good one.
Thank you, James. Safe travels.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you later.
Yep.
James Palmer from NFL Network.